image of preparing the way is a very, very deep image here in Scripture. We have both this idea of, in the Old Testament, God prepared the way for his people, Israel, to be freed from Egypt and to arrive to the Promised Land. He set things in place so they could make it there easily and safely. And then also, this is an image of welcoming an earthly king into a city. Sometimes people would literally build a road just for him so he could get there more easily and safely. And then it has an even deeper spiritual meaning that the readings bring out for us. It's not just this physical road we need, but a spiritual road into our hearts via repentance. John the Baptist was this one who prepared the way for God himself and the person of Jesus to come by this baptism of repentance. Reminding people like, yo, you guys are sinners. You need a savior. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks, John. Now we actually care about God coming down here. For that openness that our hearts need to receive Jesus. And this is the classic Advent message. You know, we need to do that still today. Constantly, actually. There's always rubble and roadkill and trees falling in the path of our heart and all this sin getting in the way, making it not so easy for us to see our need for a Savior. And so then we are not so excited when Christmas comes, except for the presents. Those are great. But if you really, know what Advent is about, the coming of a Savior who made it possible for you to go to heaven and reunite you with God who we separate ourselves from when we sin, that's really the greatest gift we get at Christmas. And there's already two candles lit. Like, my goodness, time's flying. An image that we're given really help us, prepare the way is this call to stay awake. That's step one. You got to be awake to the reality that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's like Advent 101. But unfortunately today, that word awake has been stolen from us. Doesn't mean what it quite used to mean. Maybe some of you guys know what I'm going to say next here. Awake. Woke. All right? I don't know everything about this. I've done a lot, watched a lot of YouTube videos, that's for sure. I'm going to do my best to explain what this means and how it definitely will not. It doesn't mean what it literally means. You're not awoke to the reality if you're woke. So this movement started, from what I understand very well, among African-American communities suffering unjust, terrible discrimination. He said, man, stay woke. You need to be awoken to the fact that we're being oppressed. And it's not true that we're less than human. It's a very beautiful call. Like, remember, you're worthy. You have human dignity. They were calling each other to not give in to that lie. They were less than who they truly were. And unfortunately, and even members of the original woke community are upset about this. Woke has been stolen. It doesn't mean that anymore. It means every problem in our world is the result of oppression from unjust authority. Now, while there's plenty of unjust oppression, they define unjust authority as anything that stops you from being whatever you want, whatever you feel, whatever you think is best for you. You see, this is not too surprising. That's sort of the way the world's constantly going. We're trying to get away from what's true and just do what we feel like doing. So, for example, woke people say, marriage, man and woman, that's been pressed on you by unjust religious authorities. Marriage can be whatever you want it to be, man. Just whatever makes you happy. Of course, they never actually pay attention to happiness not being achieved by that. And then, male and female? Nah, man, those are just unjust, just definitions about human beings that keep you weighed down and oppressed. You can be a man, a woman, you can switch around, you can be both, I don't know. That's what being awoke means. That's just a few tiny examples. You're awoken to this reality that you've been oppressed by your family, by the government, by religion. And you're stuck just living in this lie. Okay, so now let's really wake up. We are creatures. We've been created by God, who has the right and has done an incredibly good job that we are made to live in a specific way. And in fact, if we follow our feelings and whatever we think, we're going to get ourselves in a very bad place. We'll be in a coma. That's really what it means. Like, if you're woke today, you're in a coma. You got to be aware that we don't make up our own life. We receive it as a gift from God. From the moment of our conception to the moment when we are taught through the scriptures, through the tradition of the church, that we are made a very certain way. And living according to God's plan is how we find that happiness that we really want. So being woke, like, you got to element. You've got some good thoughts, good ideas. You know, oppression is real still. We're sinners. We hurt each other. And we need to be aware of that. But they've taken it way too far. And their good intention has actually led them to make people go even farther from finding what their hearts are truly yearning for. In this Advent season, we want to truly be awake, not woke. We're going to reclaim this term because, first of all, we can't blame everyone else for our problems. That's part of the movement is, you know, you're not the reason that there's so much trouble in the world. It's other people who've impressed these lies on you. Well, that is actually the worst thing that a human being could ever believe. That you are not responsible for any of the evil that's in the world. And the very first woke people, Adam and Eve, they're going to be OG wokes. Because what did Adam do? As soon as God came down and said, what happened? Adam was like, oh, no, it's this woman. It's a woman you sent with me. She impressed me. She gave this food. I couldn't, what was my fault, God? And then God's like, yeah, right, all right. Give you a chance for repentance. Like, Eve, what happened here? And Eve's like, oh, no, it was a serpent. It was a serpent. It wasn't me. I didn't do anything wrong. He forced me to do this. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve had just said they're sorry, they made a mistake in that moment? I wish we would know, like, what could have happened? How could a salvation history have been different? They were the very first people to say, nah, I'm not guilty here. And that's the same tendency, that weakness in humanity the devil's been, you know, using, hold us down. You want to know what a true oppression is? It's sin. And God, and the devil, has gotten us so confused that he thinks, he's convinced people that what he is doing to oppress us is actually what's going to free us. It's like, no, that's so bad for us. There's a book called Awake, Not Woke. But you didn't see that coming. Really good book, and worth reading, great Advent reading. Or just listen to the 45-minute YouTube video where she tells you what the book's about. That's what I did. This, she says, the antidote to the woke movement, the way to truly wake people up to the truth of the oppression we're dealing with that's causing us to have all this trouble in our world right now, the antidote is the sacrament of confession. I thought, it's so simple, it's so beautiful. How did John the Baptist prepare the way for the Lord? Proclaiming a baptism of repentance, the forgiveness of sins. He brought people back to the heart of reality. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. And so today, the best way we can be awake, definitely not woke, is the sacrament of confession. And then I thought, like, no way! Is this why we always have penance services during Advent? It's all coming together. So, if you want to know the best way to prepare the way of the Lord into your heart, and shake off any of this nasty wokeness that's kind of seeping into our culture, is to go to confession. Because when you do that, you admit, I'm a sinner. And yeah, there's lots of evil in the world that is the result of other people. But I'm part of that too. And when I sin, even in the secret, no one sees, no one knows, it has spiritual effects that go, you know, out in distances and places and ways I don't know. Sin doesn't just affect us, it affects the whole world, all of us. The whole body is harmed when even just one person sins. So when we go to confession, we accept that, we admit that, and we're truly awake. And then, when the priest prays the prayer of absolution, that mountain that needed to be made low, that mountain of sin you're carrying on your shoulders, wiped away. And that valley of emptiness in your heart, because sin just it sucks you dry of all joy. It's filled up with God's grace. And that way to your heart is reopened. That's literally what we believe happens in the sacrament of confession. Your baptismal purity is renewed. That way totally opened up this Advent. Be awake, not woke, and go to confession. Coming up in your bulletin, we've got the Advent penance service. And that's the best way to make sure that this Christmas you're excited for the presents, sure, for the arrival of Christ, who truly saves us from our sins. And for those who admit that, accept that, welcome into their life, will welcome us one day to his eternal glory.